The college football playoffs are set, and you are listening to the College Tribe podcast. Wow, I cannot believe we have made it this far already in the season. This is the 18th episode. Isn't that unbelievable? Either way, it's the College Tribe podcast. I'm your host, Austin Price. You can find this episode of the College Tribe podcast and all previous ones on ESPNPensacola.com. All you got to do is go to the local podcast page on that site. You will not only find the College Tribe, you will find the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass. That's every weekday morning from 9 to 10 on ESPN Pensacola. You can also find War Eagle Weekly, the Roll Tide Radio Show. Those are on Thursday and Friday mornings. Those have been from 10 to 11 a.m. on that same ESPN Pensacola. And you're hearing that name a lot and you're like, well, what the heck, man? I can hear all of this stuff on the website. Well, what about ESPN Pensacola itself? Well, you can listen to that on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. How's that sound? All right. Nice variety for us to get us started here. Speaking of variety, my goodness, looking at the bracket. Whew, I was looking so forward to touching on this because I knew there was going to be a lot to talk about. And there is. I was proven correct. There's always stuff to talk about. There's always people who are going to be happy about one thing, upset about one thing or the other, whatever. So we'll get right into it, starting with the bracket itself. So the byes have gone to Oregon, Georgia, Boise State, and Arizona State. That's 1 through 4. Those are the top 4 seeds that get first-round byes. The first-round matchups are as follows. Texas hosts Clemson. That is the 5 hosting the 12. Number 6, Penn State, hosts number 11, SMU. That's a big storyline we're going to touch on in a moment. Number 7, Notre Dame, hosts number 10, Indiana. And number 8, Ohio State, hosts number 9, Tennessee. Those are your first round games. Wow. All right. So if you have not been paying attention for whatever reason, let me just catch you up to speed. If you didn't pick up on my little spiel there listing those matchups and why one of them was important. The main thing we were expecting to see in the bracket, well, not, I don't want to say the main thing, but one of the main things we were expecting to see in this bracket was a 3-loss Alabama. This time last week, it looked like 9-3 Alabama had just about punched their ticket. They were sitting at 11th, and it's like, okay, SMU's favored to win the ACC title game. If they do that, Clemson's going to be, what, 9-4, and you know who really cares to hear from them anymore, right? They're nowhere near the playoff hunt anyway, so who gives a hoot about that? But also, if SMU gets beat up, Clemson was supposed to be the better team on paper. I mean, they were. It's Clemson. They are one of the toughest teams in the ACC of the last 10 years. They are the toughest. Dabo Sweeney's one of the most decorated and most proven head coaches in not just the ACC, but in America. This is a national title winning head coach, and he's got one of the better rosters along the Atlantic coast. And it's in a stage that he is far more familiar with, and he's facing the Mustangs, who are still trying to break that group of 5 level image, and this is their first year in the ACC. They've defied some odds, but they're looking more just like a cute underdog. So Clemson, people were not ruling out not only Clemson's chances of winning this game, but by winning big. And either way, whether SMU won and kicked Clemson out of contention or Clemson just made a fool out of the Mustangs, whichever, it looked like Alabama was probably going to be a pretty safe bet for the bracket. I was upset about it. I thought Ole Miss deserved an argument before they did. But nonetheless, it looked like Alabama was good to go in the eyes of the committee, and unfortunately, those are the only eyes that matter. But one thing remained. SMU could not lose close. I want to say I said it last week, and maybe I didn't, but if so, I'm going to say it now. Alabama was rooting for SMU. If SMU wins, there, it leaves no doubt. Bama sits tight. Clemson, they're not a playoff contender anymore, but they already weren't based on the rankings. So it all just pans out, and Alabama sits pretty. That is what they wanted. What they didn't want was the third outcome. SMU lose close. That is what Alabama didn't want. And that's exactly what Alabama got. SMU lost by a 56-yard field goal as time expired. What was it? 34-31? That was the final, wasn't it? An instant classic of an ACC title game. It is one of the better ACC title games we've seen in years. It's fun. It was phenomenal. Clemson was up 24-7 at half, and SMU claws all the way back, outscores them 24-7 in the second half to tie it up. And with 16 seconds to go, Clemson has a good kick return and one good play to set up the 56-yarder, and it was just a money shot. No questions asked about it. That is what Alabama didn't want, because right away the argument became, okay, does SMU deserve to stay in over Alabama? And as you heard, based on me listing those first-round matchups, the committee felt so. The committee felt that SMU deserved to stay in. And that has Alabama fans livid. We will touch on all of that. We will touch on how Alabama fans reacted, how poor the reactions were in just a moment. But first, I want to give my thoughts on just the teams overall. In regards to the teams that got in and the teams that did not, that simply, I am very happy to say that the committee, I feel, made the right choice. Coming down between SMU and Alabama, you know I didn't want the tide in to begin with. Not only did I say that earlier just a couple minutes ago, but I said it last week and I was livid about it. So it shouldn't come as a surprise that I was rooting for the Mustangs. But there are several reasons for why I felt they should get the nod, even after their close loss to Clemson. But I think one deciding factor for the committee was simple, and it's one for me as well. The main argument against the Mustangs was that they could get killed in the bracket. Duh, SMU's just going to get beat up. That's what people say. They don't just say that about this year's SMU team. They say it about all teams that are not Alabama or Ohio State that are fighting for a playoff spot. And I'm sorry, but if a team that consistently competed with top 20 competition can lose badly into big games, so can one that's lost in ugly contests to 2 6-6 teams. And we saw that behavior from Alabama as recently as, what, week 13? Not to mention that all of their losses have come since their only great win, which was at home over Georgia by a touchdown. Not only that, but last year, Bama fans busted their humps to argue that they had significantly grown following their loss to Texas. Well, if we're keeping that mindset, I'll be the first to point out how obvious it is that Bama has significantly worsened following their win over the Bulldogs. So we were in a position here where your only true knock on SMU was, this team hasn't proven they can compete. This team hasn't proven that they can win. You haven't proven that you can consistently win either. Yes, you beat Georgia a couple of months ago. I think the rest of your wins that you tout, the LSU win, the South Carolina win, the Missouri win, I think they're good wins. I don't think they're great. The only game that painted you out as being a true contender was Georgia. And you have crashed and burned on multiple occasions since that game. That is the truth. I mean, it's frustrating that we hear this chatter about SMU's just going to be a pushover. Alabama looks like a pushover. That was a counter argument to the Alabama lovers out there. It was like, hey, well, okay, you're talking about how tough Alabama is and how weak SMU is. Well, would SMU have lost 24-3 to Oklahoma? Would they have lost to Vanderbilt? And that's what caused Alabama fans to say, well, we looked good enough against teams that you just essentially need to ignore our losses. That became the argument for Bama at that point. It doesn't matter that we lost games that we should have won. We looked good at times. And I can't stand that argument. I mean, where does that logic end? Does 4-8 Kentucky deserve a spot? You would laugh it off and say no, right? But I don't know, man. They only lost, what was it, 13-12 to Georgia? They beat Ole Miss in Oxford? I don't know. Maybe they deserve a spot. Heck no, they don't. See how stupid it sounds when you take away the Alabama brand? See how dumb that logic sounds? And of course, people are going to mention, oh, well, Alabama, that's different. They're 9-3. Yeah, and coming into this season, you would have laughed at the idea of a 9-3 team with two losses to 6-6 teams, one of which was a blowout. You would have laughed at the thought of that team getting in. But once again, that's where the brand comes in. Oh, but it's Alabama, though. It's Alabama. So no, believe it or not, I don't think 4-8 Kentucky should get into the playoffs either. Why? Simple. Because when you get blown out by Florida or beat up by a 5-7 Auburn at home, that has to mean something. And as I said, people can sit here and say that even after those respectable moments against the Dogs and Rebels, Kentucky, believe it or not, you know, they didn't finish on a run as particularly formidable. And hey, neither did Bama. Do you want to know Bama's last three games? Bama beat Mercer, an FCS team. They lost 24-3 to 6-6 Oklahoma. And then they beat that Auburn team I mentioned just a moment ago. A 5-7 Auburn team. They beat them in Tuscaloosa 28-14. Convincing win, but not a blowout. And you had four turnovers in that game. Oh, well, that's a rivalry game. Yeah, but you've had turnover issues all throughout the season. Oh, but you can't expect us to beat up on Auburn. It's so tough. I've seen Alabama beat up on Auburn. I have seen you blow Auburn out. Don't try to bring forward these nonsensical justifications. Speaking of nonsensical, Bama is now talking in the social media spotlight as if, because of this snub, you have said that strength of schedule doesn't matter. So you know what we're going to do? We're just going to show the committee what for by scheduling weak non-conference opponents. Bama, you already play weak non-conference opponents. Do you want to hear, class, gather around, you want to hear the out-of-conference opposition Bama faced this year? They played Western Kentucky. I think they went like 8-4 in the regular season. Not bad. But they're a, what, Conference USA team? Nobody cares, Bama. You played USF. Nobody cares, Bama. You played Mercer. Once again, nobody cares, Bama. You hosted all of those teams, and you are supposed to skunk them because of how weak they are. And that's exactly what you did. You played a Big Ten team on the road. I'll give you that. But we can't even applaud you much for the game itself, not this year, because Wisconsin just had their worst season in like 20 years. They went 5-7. That was a consistent bowl-appearing Wisconsin, and you, though it wasn't in your control, you got the worst version of them that we have seen in recent memory. I believe they finished 5-7 this year, and that was your big dog on the out-of-conference slate. So you're talking about, oh, we'll just schedule weaklings. You already have. That was one of the biggest criticisms over Nick Saban's career. Oh, we'll play Duke. We'll play Duke. We'll play Louisville. You know these ACC teams that we always poo-poo on saying how weak they are? Yeah, we'll play them. But that's when we want them to be treated as conference, you know, powerhouses, right? That's when we want Louisville and Duke to be taken seriously, when we beat the snot out of them. But if they have a good season and they're held next to us, oh, no, they're terrible. Alabama's just been missing the point, and they've been talking out of both ends of their mouths for years, but it's really showing now. And I think just with how stupid these arguments are, I think with how stupid the arguments are, especially with this out-of-conference thing, it was conference games that kicked you out. What are you talking about, out-of-conference games? That had nothing to do with the criteria for you or against you. I know people are trying to, you know, bring up some nonsense about, oh, well, we're just talking hypothetically in the future. It doesn't matter. Why did you bring it up? It has no place in this equation. So why is it coming up now? I mean, I'm rambling like a lunatic because I am just trying. I'm sorry if you can't follow along. My brain is just trying to make sense of this. I've got a script in front of me. You can probably hear the paper flapping while I'm talking. I've got a script in front of me, and I can't even make sense of this nonsense. It's ridiculous. And I think it's just telling that Alabama never really had a good argument anyway. You know, like Alabama, this poor reaction from them and how difficult it is to follow and how many holes there is in all of it, I think it's just a testament to how they never really had a good argument to make the playoff to begin with. They're used to getting a pass, especially after last year. They didn't get one this time, so they're mad about it. I mean, and they were the only team that I felt didn't belong. So them not making it has this bracket, once again, feeling just about perfect to me. This is a long way of saying I'm happy with the bracket, and I'm happy that Bama was left out. People are going to call me an Alabama hater. As a fan, I always was an Alabama hater. I came from a Bama-hating household. I was raised by a Bama-hating father. But if Bama were 10-2 today and they didn't have that loss to Oklahoma, I would be completely fine with Bama getting in over SMU, and I think most people would be as well. But you cannot lose by 21 points to a 6-6 team in week 13. You cannot do that, and that's what Bama did. Bye-bye. Speaking of my thoughts on the bracket, let me see if I can kind of branch away from Bama in particular. I can't help but feel that this decision to put SMU in over the Tide somewhat validates my theory about last year. I want to say I mentioned this early in this podcast's run. Up until 2023, deserving always prevailed over toughness in the whole playoff debate. You can ask Notre Dame, you can ask Cincinnati, you can ask TCU, you can ask 2017 Clemson. All of those teams were visibly not tough enough by one criteria or another, and they got in. And the only reason why it didn't last year was because the SEC was in danger of not being represented. I don't know if you ever knew that. From 2014 to 2022, the playoff always had a clear-cut SEC representative. The committee never had to bend over backwards to get one in. There was always one in there. And in all of those instances, deserving prevailed over toughness. But in 2023, the SEC was actually in very real danger of not having a representative because Georgia lost to Bama, and there were three unbeaten Power 5 champs, and Texas had beaten Bama head-to-head in Tuscaloosa. So it was looking like, oh my gosh, the SEC won't make it. But all of a sudden, deserving means nothing. It's all about toughness. Let's kick out Florida State and put Bama in. But now this year, there's already three SEC teams in. And all of a sudden, it's about deserving. Bama's probably tougher than SMU. I think a lot of committee members would agree with that. But SMU made it anyway. Bama was left out. I just love how we're all of a sudden back to pro-deserving. I find that interesting. But that's a rabbit hole for another time. The last thing I'll mention, and this is just about the format of the bracket. I know some people in the media are upset about the potential scenarios that some of the higher placed teams could find themselves in throughout it. For example, they were discussing how a team that was supposed to be rewarded could be stuck with a harder path because of the lack of reseeding after every round, like assuming there's an upset or something. So let me try to paint the picture the best I can, because it's difficult for me to follow as well. I believe Oregon is now slated to play 8 or 9. As the one seed, they are positioned to play 8 or 9. That's not going to change. If number 12 Clemson beats Texas, number 12 will not then play number 1. There will be no reseeding after the first round. Number 12 will actually play number 4, Arizona State. So the lowest ranked bye gets the lowest ranked winner in that scenario. And Oregon is stuck with either Ohio State or Tennessee. And the fact that that could happen upset a lot of people. And I understand why to a degree, but I don't know how pressing of a matter this is going to be throughout this bracket. And you also have to consider that this is a, you know, first year experimental season for this bracket. So some of this stuff could change. And I don't think anyone would really have a problem with something like that changing. I wouldn't have a problem with reseeding after every round. Some people don't want the conference champs to get an automatic bye. Maybe an automatic bid, but not an automatic bye. I think I could get behind that as well. You know, there's conversations to be had, but this format always had the potential to leave teams with relatively lucky or unlucky paths. So I don't really care to talk about how the chips fell in this experimental year, if you just want the truth. I could dive even deeper into even more debates that have spawned from this entire scenario, but that would add like half an hour to this episode. I don't have the voice for that. So again, the main takeaway I want you to have from this little rundown, I'm very happy with this result. Hats off to the playoff committee for making it happen how they did. I really am. I am thrilled. But hey, we're not done yet. Along with the bracket reveal, of course, came the revealing of bowls. And our guys, our relatively local teams, appear to have been represented rather well. But before we get into them, I do want to just give you a quick reminder. You're listening to the College Tribe Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Price. You can listen to this episode and all previous ones on our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. You can also find other podcasts there, and you can listen to ESPN Pensacola itself on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. All right, getting on to this bowl representation here. We'll start off with this one. This one is this weekend, this Saturday, December 14th. It's the first bowl of the postseason. It's the Salute to Veterans Bowl. It's South Alabama and Western Michigan. Both teams are 6-6. I'm going to give a prediction on this game because it happens within the next week. So, as I said, this Saturday. Honestly, the last month hasn't been kind to either Western Michigan or its offense. So I'll take the Jags to win 34-21 to finish with their third straight winning record. That would put them at 7-6. I think they went 7-6 last year. I want to say the year before that, they won like 10 games or so, 9 or 10. So they're really sitting pretty right now. Western Michigan, as I said, just how they've done recently, I have bigger question marks than I do with USA. So I'm going to have to take the Jags, our Mobile boys, to get that win there. Only a few more Florida bowl games beyond that. We got Florida and I say a few more. That wasn't even a Florida bowl game, but you get my idea. Only a few more local quote-unquote bowl games. All three of these are in Florida. Florida and Tulane in the Gasparilla Bowl. That is December 20th. Then we got USF and San Jose State. That is in the Hawaii Bowl. That's going to be Christmas Eve, December 24th. And then this one's kind of interesting. Number 13 Miami and number 18 Iowa State in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. That is December 28th. I've noticed that the Pop-Tarts Bowl and its short history with that name, you know, it's gotten a lot of love on social media. And I was looking, I think it was last year. They actually do have some good matchups in that bowl game. I want to say it was like Kansas State and NC State last season, or maybe that was the season before. I can't quite remember. But the bottom line is that's actually a pretty quality bowl when it comes to the matchups you get season in, season out. And that's two top 20 teams there. Miami was arguing for a playoff spot. Iowa was in the Big 12 title game, so they were one win away from a playoff spot. So I really like that matchup, and I know a lot of people are going to roll their eyes at it and think, oh, well, that's going to be ruined by opt-outs, right? Well, Cam Ward is playing in that game, it seems. He went viral for a clip with him and Shedeur Sanders or something, and he was making a remark about playing in the game, and he was acting as if he's ready to go out there and really, you know, make some noise, raise some hell. So I like that Cam is playing in the game. Hopefully, other big-name players on some of these less great teams will follow suit, and we can actually have a bowl season that means more than the past couple of ones we've had. Because I do love bowl games. As a fan, I love them, and I know why. It's because it just gives me an opportunity, an extra opportunity, even if it's just against some shoddy team in some meaningless quote-unquote game. I like the opportunity to be able to watch my guys play one more time and against an unfamiliar opponent. And a lot of fans feel the same, especially if they're fans of more humbler teams. No, if you're a fan of Alabama, you're not going to be too thrilled with the ReliaQuest Bowl against 7-5 Michigan. You're not going to be loving that. But I'm a fan of Wake Forest. If you're a fan of a team like that, first of all, my condolences. But second of all, if you're a fan of a team like that, and you can probably relate to what I'm saying. If you're a fan of somebody like perhaps Iowa State, or someone like Miami even. I'd go as far as to say Miami. I'll lump them in because they've struggled the last couple of decades and they haven't been able to get over the hump. I know that being left out of the bracket last minute was disappointing, but at the end of the day, this is an opportunity for you to watch your flashy offense one more time, finish things off with a statement win this year over a top 20 team. That'd be really cool. So even if you're not necessarily a snake-bitten program, but just one that is a bit, I don't know, more humble with what you've done recently than some of the blue bloods out there, I think it would be a great opportunity for you. So I'm glad to hear that Cam Ward is participating in this game, and I hope he balls out. I wish him luck. I'm not going to predict these bowls yet because, as I said about the South Alabama one, that one's coming up this weekend. It comes up before the next episode of the College Try. So I'm not going to predict the other bowls yet because the soonest one is December 20th, and that's, I think, not this upcoming Friday, but a week from this upcoming Friday. It's about 2 weeks away. So I'll touch on that one then. I'll probably do the same with USF and San Jose State. Not sure, but we'll save the Miami-Iowa State one for last, just like the dates did. But yeah, so we will break those down and predict them once we get closer to them. But all in all, I'm pretty happy with the bracket. I'm pretty happy with the postseason. The only thing I would have changed is if some of our Floridian teams did better. Of course, I'd want Wake Forest to do better, but, you know, baby steps. We went 4-8 last year. We started 1-3 this season. So I'll take another 4-8 one. Why not? I sound sad, but actually I'm just, I guess I'm borderline relieved. You've been listening to the College Try Podcast. We will be back next week. I'll probably be back on Tuesday. We'll do that. That was our original format. That was our original plan. And since there's not anything particular that would have me coming in sooner or later, I'll see you Tuesday. Take care. Be safe. See you next week.